You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Screen Heroes. My name is Ray, and tonight we are late because of Derek.
Yes, for you live streamers, we're sorry we're starting 2 minutes late because Derek.
But to 98% of our listeners, it's a moot point. So
doesn't matter. It was
fun
to say.
That's the second time he's used that word in 2 minutes.
I know, right? Moot.
Moot?
Yeah.
Moot. Do you know what that means? Do you know that it means arguable? I could sit here and argue it for you. That's what moot means. It doesn't mean
like null
and void.
Can I go play BioShock or something? This is not how I want to spend my evening.
All right, guys. I'm Ray. Ryan and Derek are with me, obviously.
Obviously.
And tonight we are talking Howard the Duck.
Not just Howard the Duck.
We're talking the 1986 movie.
The live action Howard the Duck.
Not the fun Seth Green cameo that occurred in 2014.
Yes, all 3 seconds.
It was fun.
It's not the point. Hey, before we get started, though, quick announcement. We will be at Planet Comic-Con in March, March 20th. We have a panel, a live show on Friday at 4:30 in room 2505A.
Just ask for the smallest room. That's where we're at.
And, I mean, it might be. Who knows?
There'll be seating for 10 people, I think.
No, there's definitely seating for more than 10 people. But we will be doing our MCU tournament battleground thing again, but now there's more movies, so we have to move a little faster than we did last time. But we'll be doing that.
It just means less jerk-offs can talk.
It's great. Also, the following day on Saturday at 4:30, I will be doing a Red Shirts and Runabouts panel as well. We're calling it Star Trek Universe. Ray is actually going to guest on the panel.
It's because he needs that woman.
Yeah.
And of course,
the group seem diverse.
My co-host Greg on the show will be joining us as well. And Ray is our number one recurring host, and our number two recurring host, Zach, friend of the show, will also be joining us.
So
for
four
the panel.
People.
Yeah. You can have up to five. So,
okay.
And our sibling show Echo Station at 12:30 on Sunday has a panel as well. So you can join Ian and Chris for that one.
That's
so.
A lot of white people.
It is sadly just white people. If I could bring in other people, I would. But unfortunately, I don't have anybody else hosting shows at the moment.
We all fit the podcast stereotype, apparently.
I apologize for that. I have tried and failed miserably. So, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
That's the first step to doing
something successful. I'm Jewish. That's as diverse as I think we are at the moment. So.
Nailed it.
Yeah. What's up, Ray?
I was going to make a joke.
Don't do it, Rachel.
I'm not
going to
do it. I'm not. What?
Nothing. I thought you were going to say something.
No. I wanted you to do it, but don't do it.
No.
Let's talk stuff. What do you want to talk?
All right. So let's talk news. Sonic did really well at the box office this weekend. And
good reviews. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes was like 94% or something.
Reviews are fairly positive. Yeah. I mean, people are going in saying things that we already know. Don't go in expecting an Oscar movie. They didn't turn, you know, nothing into something amazing. But they took the source material and had fun with it. So people are loving it.
Yeah. I mean, it grossed $58 million just over the opening weekend alone. It's already crossed the $70 million mark. So to all of the poor CGI designers that had to crunch for 3+ months, at least it's being well received.
Allegedly. There's a conspiracy theory around that. We're not going to go into it again.
There's CGI. Somebody was crunching somewhere. So
how much did Birds of Prey?
So Birds of Prey brought in another $17 million, which brings its domestic gross to $59 million. Worldwide, though, I accidentally hit Sonic. I apologize. Worldwide for Birds of Prey at this point brings the grand total to $145.5 million, which is nearing double its budget.
So almost going to make marketing back.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not a flop. It's certainly not a blockbuster success either, but it's doing well. You know, it's making a good amount of money. Its projections are actually fairly positive.
Did you guys see that Rob Liefeld, the creator of Deadpool, said that Birds of Prey failed because Margot Robbie wasn't hot?
No.
He's the creator of Deadpool?
He was the original artist on Deadpool. Yeah,
that's disappointing.
He's the guy that draws all the 90s superheroes with a giant chest and the pouches, tiny little
lots
bodies.
Of pouches.
So many pouches
and feet
everywhere.
That he doesn't know how to draw feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. Yeah, he basically said that the costume designer for Suicide Squad was better than the one for Birds of Prey. Okay. And Margot Robbie wasn't hot enough.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Somebody who looks like a peeled potato.
It's just really crappy because Margot Robbie has said multiple times how uncomfortable she was in Suicide Squad. And, you know, the stuff was too tight and she was always showing people stuff that she didn't want to and she hated it. So it doesn't matter, though. Rob Liefeld needs to be satisfied, apparently.
Whatever.
Right? I mean,
what's the point there that a movie doesn't do well when its lead is not attractive? Because they purposely make Ryan Reynolds look like shit in Deadpool. So, yeah. Like, that's not.
He's still hotter than most guys, though.
That's point, true. He so still was hotter than most guys. That's fair.
Rachel, would you still have sex with Ryan Reynolds even in the burn makeup?
That's a face I could sit on.
Okay, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but, like, his whole body looks like that.
That's
though.
Okay. Does it still function?
We could go down a weird route here, and I'm going to stop
We're
us.
We're all
before...
God's children in the dark.
I'm going to stop us before we go too far.
That's a quote from
I was
Scrubs.
About to go too far, so it's a good thing you stopped that.
Yep. All right, so what else do we have? That was the box office, so congrats to Sonic. Birds of Prey still number two, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, so new images from the Bill and Ted movie have surfaced them in the telephone booth. And then them in slightly matching tuxes, very similar to the way Harry and Lloyd were matching in Dumb and Dumber. They're less ridiculous, but, you know, just same tux, different color kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're at a concert, so they
Big
look
surprise.
Like, yeah, they look like they're having a good time. And that's all I want. I want to go in there and see Bill Winters and Keanu Reeves have a good time. That's all
Pretty
I
much.
Expect from that movie.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a little sad Carlin's not still around. This
I know.
Should have been done like 2 decades ago, but yeah, whatever.
That is a shame. He was wonderful.
He was fine as Rufus.
Yeah. Like, I always liked George Carlin. I don't think I ever saw him in something and didn't like his role. So.
Yeah. They're not great movies, but they're fun movies.
They are
and
fun.
That's what matters.
So do we want to talk about Batman? I want to talk about Batman.
Okay.
So you just answered your own question.
Yeah, sounds like it. Talk Batman.
Please, talk about Batman.
So we Derek. Is me.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, so we got our first look at Robert Pattinson in Batman gear. It's a pretty short clip. It is on the
it's
dark
a test.
Side.
Screen test.
Yeah. But there was some, you know, music involved and things of that nature. What were your thoughts, guys?
It looks good. It looks fine. The clip was too dark. Ryan brightened it up for me, but I think he looks good. I think he at least looks the part, and you know, that's the first step.
Yeah. I think like 60% of the internet doesn't like it and 20% like it and 20% have really mixed feelings and are waiting to see more.
And the other 10 just want to bang Edward Cullen.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't
or
know.
Or Cedric Diggory.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like it's a lot of people who just, like, they weren't going to like whatever it was.
Keep in mind, I'm in, like, yeah, a lot of the Batman groups for my business,
yeah.
So I see a lot of the stuff that, like, maybe more, you know, the normies don't see. So, yeah, the Batman fandom is pretty divided with it leaning towards don't like it, so.
It's kind of crazy. It seems more and more that every fandom is like this now. Where you just, anytime there's a new version of something, it automatically sucks no matter what it is. And it's just kind of sad at this point. I thought it looked fine. Like
the whole problem with that mentality is you're never going to get new stuff then. You're never, and I mean, like, they don't want to let go of it either. They want to see more of this stuff. You know, Ghostbusters, Star Wars, they all want to see new stuff. They keep paying for it, but they just automatically hate it ahead of time, which seems a little masochistic, to be honest. Like, it sounds like you're torturing yourself.
Well, it's that like that meme that's going around, right? They want new stuff, but they don't want it to be the same, but they also want it to be unchanged.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And you can't have all three of those at the same time.
No.
You know? So, yeah, we can be disappointed that Ben Affleck is done. I am. I really liked his Batman. But that doesn't mean that Robert Pattinson's isn't going to be good.
And also, his suit looked really good. Like, I think that's part of the trouble is we're not coming off like a nipple Clooney.
Nipplegate.
Yeah. So, you know, we're coming off one of the best, maybe for a lot of people, the best looking live action Batman suit. So, you know, but then there's still the same people that'll call him Fat Fleck or whatever. Right. And, you know, I, the suit looked really cool. I think there is a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a mixed bag for me. I think it's interesting that it looks so armored, but then his cowl looks like it's made of leather, like stitched leather. So there's a, I'm waiting to pass judgment until I see the whole thing. But the armor pieces look really cool on their own, and the cowl looks really cool on its own. From what we could see, you can't see the ears or anything like that, but I like the idea that a cowl was stitched together. It looks like he made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so you, I know the news has come out that it's his second year as Batman, but it's probably his original suit, so it's still going to be kind of a year one type thing.
Do you think he gets an upgrade in the movie?
Probably in the last, like, 15 minutes.
Right, is that what we're going to see?
Maybe, yeah.
That's kind of the big trend in superhero stuff now, is some type of wardrobe change.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think it looks, aside from the cowl part, looks kind of reminiscent of the Arkham Knight games and stuff like that, which I think is, that's a good thing to base it off of if you want to have a more armored look.
And there's been a lot of fan renders of what the whole suit could look like, one in particular I thought was really good was they took the red tint away and then they colored the parts of the suit gray and blue.
Mm.
And I really, there was one with like a gold or bronze chest emblem that looked really cool. And I'm hoping that the reason they put such a bright red filter on it was to hide the colors.
Oh, that would be, I never even thought of that.
Because that's, you, I don't know, that's a big theory right now, is that they're trying to hide the colors with that.
It's a good theory.
But the downside is it also made everybody go, oh, that looks a lot like a Daredevil helmet. And it does. It really does. When you just see from, you know, lower jaw up to like a little bit above the eyes, it really looks like a, like the Daredevil Netflix cowl, which isn't a negative for me because I like the Daredevil Netflix cowl. But for a lot of people, they're using that as a complaint. I don't really understand that.
I'm with you guys.
What about the score? People are thinking that the sound or that the music that was playing during that is Batman's theme.
Yeah, it sounded fine. You know,
fine is what we got.
We didn't get enough of it for me to really create a strong opinion either way. It was certainly not bad.
You guys are more score nerds than I am, so.
It's really difficult to do the score prior to a lot of filming.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that usually starts when cuts are done. And so maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but the music in the background was good.
Yeah.
So if it is, cool. If it's not, cool.
They're on the right track, you know? Certainly.
Right.
I think,
yeah. And I mean, maybe with someone like Batman, you have a little bit of advantage of already knowing the character so the composer can start early.
Right. So they don't have to see the movie and,
Right. But yeah, I mean, I am very big on scores. I buy a lot of soundtrack scores and things like that. So I want to hear more of it. And so far, so good, you know, but it's not something that I'm playing in my head or anything like that yet.
What do you guys think of the whole gun as the chest emblem thing? That's very divisive on the internet right now, too.
I don't really care if it is either way. It
certainly looks like it's some sort of mechanical something. It's either a
gadget or... I don't know enough about guns. It just looks like it can be removed and used as a weapon itself. Right. So if it's like a giant batarang, that would be pretty cool.
That's what I thought it was initially, and then all this stuff came out about it. It's
the Kevin Smith thing. Yeah.
I'm not saying that that would be a bad narrative device. I will say that I'm definitely not sold on that being a good narrative device.
But it is true to the comic books. So.
Sort of.
To one of the stories.
I mean, it's a little bit adapted.
It's very similar to a much more recent comic book.
Which is, that doesn't count as a comic book?
No. I'm just saying, this isn't like a Batman lore thing that's been around for decades.
No, but it is a Batman lore thing, so I don't know what you're trying to specify with that. It's if it's in the comics.
So what we're referring to is in the comics, he melts down the gun and uses it to create like shielding under his chest.
Behind his suit, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I like that idea more than this.
Me too.
You know, and so I think they took an idea that is an interesting concept and are kind of like making it, if this is the case, it just seems to be very heavy handed. And I don't know that works for me. I mean, I don't know yet.
I don't know if it seems heavy handed to me, but it definitely seems like they're really, I don't know if I want to say the Joker route, but like where they're trying to go super edgy Batman. That's like, he's so metal that he uses his parents' murder weapon as his chest symbol, you know?
Hey, doesn't that just sound super emo? Like, no, it does. Stop it.
It's like he's going to have bangs falling out of the cowl, you know?
And how did you even get that? Like, Joe Chill supposedly kept it, or a guy put in locker evidence. How did you get that gun?
Well, in the comic books, he bought it from a pawn shop that specializes in weapons used in famous crimes in Gotham, and he paid like four grand for it or something like that. I can't remember.
Wow. So I know it's Detective Comics 1000. Yeah. I think so. I actually haven't read it myself. Does he do it like as Bruce Wayne do it, or does he do it as Batman?
No, he does it as Bruce Wayne.
So, so everyone thinks Bruce Wayne has the gun that killed his parents, and then Batman's walking around with that gun in his chest.
Right, but they don't know that. People don't know that. He knows that.
Yeah, right, because in the comic, it's also melted down behind him, and nobody actually sees
it. His theory behind that was that he's turning something that was bad into something that's good.
So, that is better. This case is just its decoration.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
So
I want to lean more towards it's a gadget type thing.
That's my
hope.
Because
it has two like little like belt clips on it, and those aren't really on guns. That's not a thing.
What if they're like part of his grapple device or
something?
Right,
a grapple hook or a batarang would be great.
That would be better.
What I thought it was, but we'll see. Yeah. Especially with like Titans, he can throw the R. Robin can throw the R.
Right.
Thing, so it's very reminiscent of that.
I will say, going back to the year two thing, I am glad that it's not a straight up origin story. Like, I'm sure we're going to see his parents die again because I feel like it's contractual, but I am glad we don't have to see him become Batman again.
I feel like the HPN should go through all the Batman live actions and cut out the parents dying from every single one and make a montage and put it on our YouTube channel.
I could work on something like that.
You'd probably get a lot of hits from people that just want to see the Waynes die over and over again.
Yeah. Should I put it to that? What's the, is it an Imogen Heap song or whatever from the SNL skit and everything? From the OC?
There you go.
From the OC? Yeah.
What'd you say?
Oh, that would be so funny.
Yeah.
That would actually be perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you can time it perfectly, yeah, that would be great.
I have the software. I could probably do it.
Do it.
All right.
That's our million hit challenge on YouTube there.
All right, so what else we got?
I don't know. Talk
about that for a bit.
You have the news all pulled up. Tell us.
I have the news all pulled up. Okay. Well, okay, so let's talk real quick about the He-Man animated series and its casting.
Pretty impressive cast so far.
Well, I know you guys have some strong opinions about it. Mine are not as intense, I think. but thoughts? Mark Hamill as Skeletor, for example?
So you don't have strong opinions about, I don't know how you couldn't have strong, like, opinions about, you had opinions about the Dark Crystal voice cast. I mean, I don't know what the difference is, really. They're both pretty loaded casts.
So it has nothing to do with the actors at all. It has to do with
the
property.
You don't care about He-Man as much.
No, I do. They've just been teasing a live action film for so long that getting a new animated show just feels a little bit like a letdown, whereas like the Dark Crystal going from a movie I thought had been abandoned, you know, 30 years ago to a high budget Netflix live action series was like really exciting. This is just like, yeah, it's a cartoon. I hope it's good. I really do. But kind of like the new Thundercats is not for me. I don't know if this will be either.
Well, there was a cartoon already of He-Man, a newer cartoon, and it was actually pretty good. It wasn't very popular, but it was very
two seasons
good looking. I mean, it was
the 2007
Thundercats?
Or whatever. Thundercats?
I thought it was just one season. It's
I was talking
us.
About the He-Man, but
sorry. I'm sorry. I totally went over to Thunder. I forgot that there was a He-Man.
Yeah, there was. And it had a really good, like, you got to see how Skeletor became Skeletor and that it was King Randor, you know, and I don't know. That was a really cool scene. It's on YouTube if you ever are curious. Mm-hmm. It's really well done. The art is really nice. So it's not like it's a brand new thing.
No,
you know.
It's odd. He has a face.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get to see why he's, you know, just a skull from the neck up, essentially. Mm-hmm. But does he have a neck? That was a really big debate in the He-Man groups, like before that show came back. Whether Skeletor had a neck or not.
Like in the original cartoon?
I mean, we have friends that don't have necks.
It's true.
I mean, I just assumed that he had a neck.
Assume that, but you never see it. And it looks like he's just a floating skull. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But as far as the cast goes, yeah, I was really impressed. It kind of came out as like a big info drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the headlines were all Mark Hamill is Skeletor, Mark Hamill is Skeletor. But then you started like going past the third paragraph in the article and then they start listing everybody else. And you're like, what? Look at all this talent. Why is Mark Hamill the like title of this article?
Right.
I mean, probably he's the best known voice actor from this list.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of pretty big talent on there.
Lena Headey playing Evil Lyn is so cool. That's Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Tila. That's awesome.
Lena's probably like the highest profile actor on here, but has she done like cartoon voice work before?
She did Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Just like Mark Hamill did.
That's why I said cartoon voice work. Wow. I specifically said.
She's done voice work before, but not cartoon.
I was just curious. That was more of just a question. It wasn't a judgment.
My question is, they have the original voice of Skeletor on the cast. Why are they not using him as the voice? It's so iconic. It's such an iconic voice. And Mark Hamill is going to sound... Look, I love Mark Hamill, and everybody's going to hate me. But even as a scientist in the Dark Crystal, he sounded basically like he was doing Joker. And, you know, I feel like he's just going to do that same shit with Skeletor. And I hope I'm wrong, because I like Mark Hamill. But I'm having a hard time getting super pumped for that.
I mean, how old is Oppenheimer now?
He's probably up there, but I mean, your voice doesn't get that crazy different. I'm sure he can still do the Skeletor voice.
Yeah, but could he do it for the amount that would be required, maybe?
I don't know.
That would be my question. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like with the Transformers, really the only guy they've really pulled through the whole thing is Peter Cullen, who does Optimus. Everybody else
who's the main character in pretty much everything, so
yeah, but like they've replaced everybody else at this point, you know, so I don't know, maybe he's just not,
it's possible. I just it hurts me in my soul because Skeletor is such an iconic voice. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
You know, everybody can hear that voice in their head, so I don't know. I trust Mark Hamill and I hope he does a good job, and his Dark Crystal work wasn't bad by any means. It just sounded like a reused voice to me.
I am like reading through the list again. There's a lot of really exciting things in here. I mean, Tony Todd is one that I really like. He's a great voice actor and great character actor. You know, he played Klingons on Star Trek, and he was Candyman.
That's what he's known for, is Candyman. I know you know him for Star Trek, but everybody else knows him as Candyman.
I know, but it's still cool.
That's a movie I'm excited for.
Sarah Michelle Gellar as Tila is great. Yeah. And I mean,
she's done a lot of voice work lately. She's done more voice work in the last 10 years than she has live action stuff. Yeah.
And then, I mean, the whole like surrounding cast of Skeletor's crew, I can't remember who does Merman, but like there was a couple that stood out
Kevin
to me.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was why it stood out to me. I'm like, you got Kevin Conroy as
Henry
Merman.
Rollins is doing Triclops.
Right. Like, I'm sure ridiculous. These are going to be characters that are not really like big roles or anything.
Maybe
but
not.
It's really cool.
Maybe one, two episodes, but it'll be fun.
Even Alicia Silverstone is in this, and like I don't even know the last thing I saw her in.
It's been a minute,
right? It's been a while. So
Batman and Robin,
I don't know.
I meant like chronologically speaking, not like Batman and Robin. You're right.
Was it Batman and Robin?
Yeah, okay. The one that we did in the fall.
Yeah, because Forever was Kilmer, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That one introduced Robin, and then they introduced Batgirl in the next one. So just keep adding on Bat people was the plan, I'm sure.
More toys.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so that's that. Do we want to cover anything else on news before we take a break and switch over to our main topic?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right, well then we will take a short break, and when we return, we will be talking about the 1986 live action Howard the Duck.
Recently on the Heroes Podcast Network, Echo Station.
Well, what's the main planet that Endor, the forest moon of Endor? It's a moon, so it's, there's a major planet, obviously, that it...
Is the forest moon of Endor? Is Endor the actual planet, then?
See, isn't that confusing?
Yes.
Is it the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is it the forest moon called Endor?
Kaiju Curry House.
Because I'm just wondering, are Pokemon kaiju?
They are pocket monsters. They are pocket monsters, Paul.
They're monsters, aren't they?
They're they are yokai, officially.
Yokai.
Yeah, so,
what's a yokai?
Screen Heroes.
If the MCU gets that, then I really think that Space Jam needs to be part of the DCEU.
Yes!
Okay, because
they have a big Marvel versus DC crossover where Air Bud takes on Space Jam. Man, we should write for these companies.
That's what it comes. It's Air Bud versus Bugs Bunny. That's what it's right. all come down to.
One on one.
Yes, done. All right. And then, like, at the end, it's Galactus versus LeBron James.
And oh, Squirrel Girl wins.
Red shirts and runabouts.
Something we've talked about before, and other people have, but there's so much of real life history involved with Star Trek. From Gene Roddenberry's days, his time in the military as a bomber pilot, as a bomber crewman, you know, James Doohan serving, all these people and all these real life events that have impacted things. That's very realistic of political and military leaders kind of resigning in protest at a decision they can't control.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
Hey guys, welcome back. We are talking about Howard the Duck, the 1986 film that was a thing.
You're so mad about this.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're so mad. Like, it's one thing not to like a movie, but you're like angry about it.
Because there were humanoid duck tits in the first 5 minutes.
So, okay. I mean, that's an interesting place to start. No, like in a good way. Like, I might as well start there. So, I watched this as a kid. It's rated PG.
I don't know how.
How is this movie rated PG when PG-13 already existed for a couple of years? How did this not get...
Maybe it's because no one actually, like, dies a horrible death. Like...
Is that all it takes? Because you're, like...
In the 80s, I think it was.
It was all cartoonish violence. I mean...
Is that the reason?
I don't know. Why are you asking us?
We're I don't know. I just wanted your guys' perspective on it. Perspective. We're here to talk
well,
about
now,
the movie.
Movies that are way more sexual get harder ratings than PG-13 ones. So, like, this was way more sexual than I truly remembered.
Yeah. I mean, right in the beginning, it basically establishes how much of a perv he is. Mm-hmm. And... You know, I'm pretty sure that movie poster on the wall was not a Raiders of the Lost Ark knockoff.
But
it
like
was
the
a
porn
knockoff
version.
Of the porn version, because it's literally called, what was it? It was called Breeders of the Lost Stork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which does not sound like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, in duck form. That sounds like the porn version in duck form. So, I mean, everything in the first 5 minutes is to establish that he's a huge pervert.
Mm-hmm.
And then, why does a duck have tits?
That's a great question.
And why do they show them?
That's a better question, I think, actually.
Right before that, you see another duck that's wearing, like, a dress. And you can see that she clearly has
boobs.
Chesticles.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, okay, that's a little weird because ducks don't have... breasts, they don't need like any sort of mammary gland for anything, but then you actually see bare chesticles on display on a duck.
They have normal mammalian nipples.
Yes.
Like, what?
Look, on the larger side, even, you know?
Well, what's even more interesting about it is, like, how unnecessary it was to even show the woman duck in the tub, because it's not a sexual
scene. And it
scene.
Lingered a little bit, too.
Well, right, because you're not following Howard. Howard shoots through the set. Right as he's being pulled into the vortex or whatever. And so you're like on the tub. That's the shot, you know, and it's just like I had totally forgotten about that. Whereas in chat here, Midnight Pearl, that's the only thing that they remembered from the movie. Whereas like it caught me totally off guard. I forgot about it.
Yep.
But it is the only nudity in the movie. Which is weird.
You're questioning it for a part there somewhere in the middle when there's a bed scene with the two of them, and you're going, is there going to be nudity again?
Right.
So I will say this. I've talked to a lot of people about this movie, and everyone seems to remember them having sex.
I totally remembered them having sex. They do not have sex. I was misremembering.
It was really weird because I kept I thought I had tricked myself into not remembering that happened, because it would have been really weird, right?
They are full on boyfriend girlfriend by the end of the movie. They have sex eventually. It's just not part of the movie.
It's even weirder if you know anything about ducks.
Please do tell us about ducks,
because
Ryan.
Because I'm pretty sure that ducks
bio
have
with Ryan.
Spiral penises that are actually like spiky.
Yeah.
So does Howard have that, or is it like because they have mammal nipples? Is it like a normal human penis on a duck?
I don't know, because he does imply in the diner scene that they still lay eggs.
Yeah,
the female ducks like still lay eggs. That's how they procreate.
It's true.
So that didn't change.
And then they feed the duck babies with their nipples
after they hatch for
after
a little
they hatch
maybe
or.
I don't know.
How does a nipple work with a mammal, or like a mammal nipple work with a beak?
I'm not sure.
Like, I don't understand.
Maybe they're just as functional as yours or mine.
I really want to cancel this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know why we're doing this.
Here's why we're doing this for everybody back home. First off, so I actually enjoy most of this movie. I think it's fun. I think it's silly, and I enjoy watching it. And I never owned it, and I was at Walmart, a neighborhood market, doing grocery shopping, and the bin by the checkout had the $5 bin had the movie sitting there. I was like, screw it, I'll pick it up. And then Ray decided to add it to our bad movie reviews.
Why
list,
would you do
and
that?
I was very
this is
excited.
All your fault, Ray.
I thought that we should focus more on bad superhero movies, so I picked one of the very first Marvel properties.
Is he a superhero?
I mean, in the comics, yeah.
Yeah, but
No,
he has zero powers.
He's
he
the master of quack foo, Ryan.
Don't even get me started. Okay,
that lame shit.
Every action scene made me want to gouge out my eyeballs with a thick wooden spoon to make it even more painful because it was terrible.
The fight choreography is some of the worst I've ever seen. There's no doubt about it.
It might be the worst I've ever seen. Honestly, it's so bad.
That's hard to say.
And it's.
I've seen some bad stuff.
But. I don't know if this is going to be offensive or not, but the way he moves is like a little person in a costume, right? Like a
but he was.
He was, and yeah. I know. And it was not that took me out every time. Like when he was just sitting there and the eyes were moving and the mouth was moving, it was okay, right? Mm-hmm. The practical effects were pretty good, but as soon as he started walking around or moving, it lost everything for me. Really bad action scenes.
Well, so I think there are some positive things to take out of this, and that
okay.
is the
I'd like to hear those.
The puppetry work. I think that the actual suit, the headpiece, the bill, the eyes, I think they actually were really quite good. And considering that it was in 1986, it did have a pretty damn good budget, to be fair. It didn't quite make back its $32 million budget, which is pretty big for that time. I still think that he looked good on screen. I think look holds
parts
up.
Of him looked good. I don't think anything from the neck down looked good. There's a few shots of the feet where it looks like they're I don't know what giant plastic things, not organic at all. And I mean, I know they probably were, but that doesn't I mean, is that okay if E.T.'s feet looked like giant plastic things? That wouldn't have bothered you at all?
I didn't really notice his feet, to be fair.
There's a lot of scenes where it's pretty close up.
So
I mean, I literally just watched this, you know.
No, we watched it last night. I don't really remember the feet. Could they have been like a shoe for them or something?
That's exactly what it was.
Oh.
It was a shoe for the person that was just
no,
like.
I meant for the ducks, like for like in universe.
No, because it was made to look like a.
It was, okay. I really didn't notice. So I was just asking. Kind. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there were. That or the puppetry or animatronics or whatever it happened to be was not bad. And I mean, certainly the highlight of the film. And funny, you know, knowing that when this was filmed and knowing that this was all, you know, practical effects, it was funny to watch scenes like right early on after the rock show when he saves her from the Beverly from the guys that are every but guy in this movie wants to rape every woman, apparently, because that is ridiculous.
Except for
but,
Dr. Jenning.
Except for Dr. Jenning.
He's the only one.
But, you can it's raining it's pouring
yes
right in the scene and she walks out into the rain and has an umbrella and water is clearly hitting it and everything. He walks out into the rain just as far as she does and is completely dry and
well water slides off ducks
but it hits ducks first right I
or
actually
does
thought
it?
About that I actually thought about that I was like is this some kind of clever thing that they're trying to do
no it's
but
not
it would have to hit the duck first for it to slide off. And I'm guessing it was because it was an early scene in the movie and they were concerned with breaking the animatronics.
Probably.
You're talking about before she asks him to go with her?
It's right before that.
Right?
But like even when
I thought it does hit him in the head. And that's why he takes some steps back.
When he walks into the into the hallway, into the apartment or whatever, he's 100% dry.
Oh, yeah, totally.
His clothing?
Yeah.
So if you're going to use the excuse that stuff rolls off ducks, I'm pretty sure they don't make the clothing out of duck.
No, you're probably so, right.
No, but they focus on creating, you know, material that would be
mm-hmm.
yep. complimentary to a duck.
There was a scene later when he was in the strip club. I think it was a strip club or whatever that club, sex
the
club
weird
or whatever.
Sex club place.
And
yeah.
he falls in the water, gets pushed in the water or mm-hmm. whatever. And then he's wet. So I'm guessing they waited until the very end of the film to film that. And they're like, we don't care if the animatronics break at this mm-hmm. point. We'll just do it.
I think that's fair. I don't know how many they
moisture.
Built.
There's a lot of moisture scenes in the movie, mm-hmm. and he's never wet except for that one scene. So I thought that was funny. I don't know why that stood out to me.
Speaking of that one scene, though, what was that place?
It looked like a sauna that you go to fuck.
Like legally in
like
Cleveland?
A sex club? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Does that exist?
Sex clubs do exist, but I don't know they existed quite like that. I mean, I don't know. Right? In the 80s, I was not going to sex clubs, so I'm not 100% sure. Somebody that was.
Are you going to them now? Like,
I am not going to comment on that. I would say if you guys go to a local club, keep your eyes open, but you know. Well. No,
would you be in the mud pit area or the regular hot tub?
Where
either
picture me.
Way, you're walking out of there with some Hep C, okay?
Like... Probably at a minimum, yeah.
Depends how hot the mud is.
yeah, I mean, that was a weird thing, right? Yeah. And it fits his character because I know in the comic books he's a pervert.
He's huge.
But they really
pervert.
Felt they needed to include that whole thing in this.
I think it would have made more sense if he had worked in like, an adult like video store or something like that.
Something a little more relatable than a weird mud pit sex club.
I know existed. Like is that like a place you could just like drive up to? I don't know that those were ever particularly legal in Ohio. You know what I mean? Like they're not in Vegas, right? They're in Cleveland, and there's just like this weird sex orgy place that's just like on a strip mall somewhere
that some temp agency sends them to work.
Right, a government temp agency, yeah. right? The unemployment office sends them to. Like that just doesn't like I don't know. That was weird. That made no sense. I can get past the strange demon monsters because it's a comic book movie.
Honestly, it was just a small, shitty way to separate Beverly and Howard for
exactly.
like
an undisclosed amount
minutes.
Of time.
Yeah.
We don't know how much time passed.
It was only
that.
A 5-10 minute scene at the most. So like I'd say maybe a few hours between the unemployment agency and then
I took it as like days that he worked there.
I mean, maybe,
least.
I took it as a couple of days. Like maybe this was his second or third shift, and that's why
okay.
he quit. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I took it.
Yeah,
because it seemed like he had already worked there. Like when he's pushing the cart, he seems like he knows what he's doing.
Right, he doesn't seem like.
And someone told him the day before or something what to do. I don't know. so let's talk about some of the human cast here a little bit. So you have Lea Thompson, of course. She's essentially the lead.
I'm getting a headache talking about this.
You what?
I'm getting a headache talking about this.
She went all out for this.
Okay, well, we have to specify. It wasn't just her. Literally every actor in this movie, I'm pretty sure that George Lucas directed this, right?
He did.
I'm pretty sure George Lucas was like, okay.
I did Star Wars,
let's have
guys.
A meeting here, guys. I want you to be as over the top as you possibly can. If you think you're going too crazy, you're not crazy enough. We need you to be just as insane and over the top as you possibly can.
Like,
everybody was that way.
No paycheck could properly prepare me for, okay, you meet a duck, you slowly befriend, fall in love, and become sexually attracted to said duck.
I don't think that's true. I think if George Lucas drove here right now and said, Rachel, I'm doing this movie, this is the premise, here's $5,000, you would
$5,000
immediately.
Is the amount I'm doing it for?
I'm pretty sure you would.
This is a Lucasfilm production with a $30 million budget in 1986 that released at the same time that movies like Aliens and Top Gun were in theaters. Like showing next door to each other.
Yeah.
Right. George Lucas did direct it. You get Lea Thompson. You get.
Who's straight off Back to the Future success because that was 84.
Right. So she's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
You get Tim Robbins who, you know, ends up having this massive career. And, you know, you've got what's his name? The principal from Ferris Bueller.
Jeffrey Jones.
Thank you. Jeffrey Jones, who, by the way, Ferris Bueller was also in theaters at the same time that this came out. Right. So like
and William Atherton were like the number one 80s dickheads.
Mm-hmm.
They thought this movie was going to be huge. Like they expected this to be successful based on everything I can see about this movie.
I think they just blindly trusted in George Lucas. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, yeah, New Hope was huge.
Well, they already did Empire.
They had already done, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, never mind. Like, yeah, New Hope and
they
Empire.
They had done all of them at that
all
point.
Of them were done.
Yeah?
Yeah, because Jedi was 84.
Oh,
but
okay.
He didn't direct.
No.
He didn't do Empire either, and Jedi.
No. But, I mean, they're still, yeah. They're
they
still
had Lucas. His name attached.
He was still there.
Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
Return was 83, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, these were massive films. Like, they expected this to be a thing. Maybe, like, someone had the idea, like, this is going to kickstart Marvel movies.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the idea.
No.
They didn't think about this stuff like they did back then. Back
and their
then,
other
like
properties were not that successful. The Incredible Hulk TV show had been off the air for a little while by now. And
but that one was pretty popular. It had a
it
lot
was
of seasons.
Pretty popular, yeah. But every other attempts, the Nick Fury movie, the Fantastic Four movie, it was all bad. So
pretty much.
I mean,
the Captain America TV show that was pretty short-lived.
Just for some perspective here, because, I mean, I haven't really looked at movie budgets much for the 80s. Aliens movie budget was half of this.
And look what it did.
Half.
Look what it did.
And, I mean, Aliens, like it or not, it looks freaking incredible. So, I don't know.
They had Stan Winston Studios for that. I'm pretty sure that was...
That's the budget right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's...
And Paul Reiser.
It's kind of a... Well, yeah, he obviously stole the show. So, anyway, so it's a weird movie, right? We know that. What did you think of the human cast, though? Do you think any of them?
I mean, really, they were all, if you just accepted the fact that they were all overacting as much as they possibly can, it made it a little better. I mean, they all really sold, they were really trying. And so I give them that credit. It's just such a ridiculous movie and executed in a ridiculous way. I mean, Leah Thompson, I thought she was great. As great as she could be in this role, I don't think she could have done anything different that would have been better.
She did all of her own singing, and she has a really good voice. I was pretty
surprised.
And that
hair, I mean, Jesus Christ.
The crimping.
That was a lot of hair.
So before we started recording, I had mentioned that, like, Ray mentioned that I wanted to get the soundtrack, which is like $35-$40 on Entrada. And it's mainly because of her. I like Leah Thompson. I like her voice, and I liked, like, I thought that the music was pretty decent. And so I would have picked that up if it was easier to get a hold of. I mean, I thought that was one of the better parts. I mean, no, the Howard the Duck theme song that they sing at the end of the movie into the credits is not good, but the other stuff I thought was pretty decent.
Yeah,
I thought this is not related to the acting necessarily, but, and I did bring it up earlier, but literally every guy in this movie is a terrible, horrible shit person that just wants to if not, you know, insult
get into someone's
you,
pants,
then sexually assault you or rape you or like, I don't know. Every person was just, there was no redeeming quality for pretty much anybody other than the one scientist guy.
Jennings, yeah.
Well, no, the other one that was a nice guy to Howard the Duck, but he was still a giant idiot. And, you know, he was, well, he kind of had his own shit too, that he was kind of a jerk. You know, he keeps going after Howard without Howard.
Oh, you're talking about Tim Robbins character.
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
Oh, yeah. Phil.
He was more of an, he wasn't trying to sexually assault people or anything, but he was still a jerk, a huge jerk. And, you know, that bothered me a lot. I mean, not that anything about this movie was believable, but at least there would have been something to relate to if there was any person, you know, that wasn't a huge jerk. That was male, other than Jennings, who was actually a demon.
Yeah. The makeup on Jennings got progressively cooler. The more he...
The voice was so terrible,
the voice was
though.
Bad. The voice was bad. But the more he, like, the more the makeup artist made him look decayed and transformed was a lot of fun.
But then
and
he stopped decaying. That was my problem. Like, he was decaying, really decaying. But then when he started getting the brow, like, prosthetic pieces and stuff, he stopped decaying and the skin was fine. So I was not understanding where, you know, what was going on. Skin can stretch. So, you know, I mean, it's not crazy to think that those prosthetic pieces could have been under skin without it peeling off and regrowing or something.
Right.
I don't know what was going on with that. But it was cool, at least. I mean, the makeup was good and well done.
Yeah, and there were a lot of, for lack of a better word, like Ghostbusters effects on him throughout the
film.
They
looked very similar.
Laser fingers.
Well, I mean, that was a popular thing around the time because Ghostbusters was kind of the first ones to do that kind of effect.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's a movie I've been trying to get, or that we're going to be reviewing in the future, that's similar effects also. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of 80s movies that came out, 85, 86, 87, 88, that were all very similar to Ghostbusters. But they definitely, I noticed it as an adult watching this. This looks a lot like Ghostbusters effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially towards the end when I guess he's like phasing the two of them out of existence, yeah, or whatever. It looks straight up like the proton stream.
Yeah.
You know, like they didn't even change it. It was right, like the exact same animation. Which I mean,
I do like how his different powers had different streams. It was very video game.
It was, you know? Yeah, different colors, like different manas.
Yeah, the fire stream and the poison stream.
When he had the tongue thing coming out to charge himself in the car, like that was a little disturbing. But then also, so there's gross. One part where it like zooms out and you see his head, and it's definitely just a doll, like a sculpted head that doesn't have anything looking lifelike on it and doesn't move.
Speaking of which, how in the ever-loving fuck did she fall asleep after that? She wakes up like on the dashboard of the semi, and I'm like, you were able to sleep next to this guy? Like, what is your problem?
She must have been very tired.
Right?
Exhaustion. Or one of the rapey guys in there gave her a roofie or something randomly. I mean,
one of the truckers.
Believable in this movie only, God, because it's so ridiculously full of that kind of thing.
I guess that's the only way you can make Howard the hero, is if every other guy looks worse
than Howard.
That's probably
true, actually. It's kind of like Birds of Prey. They had to make Black Mask so evil because
Harley's
everybody
the
else
good guy.
Is, yeah,
yeah.
It looks good by comparison.
Because you're dealing with you know, anti-heroes,
Shades of Grey,
and vigilantes, right?
Yeah.
Howard the Duck isn't a superhero, but he's a Marvel comic character.
Yeah.
You know? That's a good point. One of the more ridiculous parts of the movie, at least for me, though, was the little airplane.
Oh, God, that went on so long.
The whole movie was like half an hour too long, and I think that whole half an hour was that the stupid plane scene.
Yeah, I think you could definitely, so you could absolutely cut any of the malfunctioning parts, because so they act like it's that the engine gets shot and it's leaking fuel. But then it's just because the fuel line got like slightly detached.
But then he's like up in the air, like cutting the fuel line so that he can get a perfect mate, you know, like with the rubber hose or the thing. And he's struggling and the fuel is shooting out.
He gets it like all over his face.
Yeah.
So the movie's an hour and 52 minutes, which, yeah, I mean, that's a long movie, especially back then.
A lot of it felt disjointed too. Like, there were a ton of parts where I'm like, stop side questing. Get to your point.
Stop side questing. Oh, man. No, I definitely thought the airplane scene was, aside from it being completely ridiculous, was way too long.
Also, the tank scene. I mean, for me, at the very end when he's driving, like,
the little
tank.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just a cart? I don't know. It had a gun on it, didn't it?
Well, but the gun's a handheld, because remember, they find it in the other room. He's holding it at the end of the movie.
Yeah. That was too much, too. Like, anything where they basically wanted to stop the actor from having to walk around as much as they could during action scenes, for obvious reasons, but you know, when you start putting them in vehicles and things like that, it's too much.
Why were the cops so terrible? Like, first thing they do is they say, like, shoot to kill. Like, that's your go-to? Like, no wonder there's police brutality in this country. Like, clearly.
Also, why are they all so inept that he's hiding under a staircase 2 feet away and they all just walk by
him
after that?
They don't see
him
at all.
He wasn't in the dark or anything.
Right?
And they are doing the one thing, it tends to be a problem more in sitcoms than in films, but where like two lead characters are having a conversation that nobody else can hear for some reason.
Yeah. But they're talking to the same volume as the people that are 2 feet away.
Yeah. That always bothers me. And I can get past it in a sitcom because it's a sitcom, but like in a movie like this, it makes zero sense. But yeah, they're so like
cops are horrible.
Like, they don't know. They think it's a person in a suit, right? That's what they think it is, because thinking it's an alien duck is kind of crazy. So they think it's a person in a suit. So it's either a little person or it's a child. So you're just going to shoot a child?
You're just going to strip them down and molest them?
Well, that was messed up too.
Right? Yeah. Like, first of all, they're bad at their job. They are bad people too, on top of it. So, I guess it is like real cops.
They're just like so aggressive in that movie.
Yeah, they are.
It's something. Yeah.
And they had to have the lead cop who's like the 3 days away from retirement. Except like, he's not cool like any of the cops who've had that line before. So like, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Because he said that. He's like, I don't know why I haven't retired. Like, he actually says that line in the movie.
Sorry, Murtaugh.
He wasn't even that old. It's like, no, yeah, come on. You're like 35 years old. Why do you need to retire?
You know Cleveland, man.
Apparently Cleveland is really hard on people.
I gotta say, the one time I laughed at this movie was when the cops come out and they're like, I don't know how to explain that we're on a manhunt for a duck. It's like, we're on a duck hunt, sir. Yes. I laughed so hard. And that was it. I stopped. That was the one time.
I like the duck puns. I think they're funny.
I did not like the duck puns.
Derek loves puns.
I do. Right.
And I
really
usually
do.
Appreciate clever puns, but none of them were clever at all. It
they're
was
all
just...
duck puns. How clever can they be?
I mean, they could be more
like
clever.
Like, they get old fast.
Duck Hunt was about the most clever one, or the one where somebody yelled duck to get him to duck.
And he didn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, those were about the only two clever ones in the whole movie. Everything else was stupid. And I get it. That's also from the comic books. He makes
duck puns all the time.
So, but, I mean, at a certain point, you have to go, this isn't a comic book. Maybe we should ease off on the duck puns a little bit.
All bet.
They went just go with some humor a different way.
To your point about how, like, the actors were, like, they just went all in. They're we're going 115%.
Everything about this movie was 200% easily.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about the final form of the demon creature?
It was silly. Like, whatever.
It was weird in some scenes. The scene when they're, like, coming to Earth right before he destroys the laser thing, and that you see him in, like, the orange tube or whatever, they actually looked pretty cool there. I thought that was a neat design. It looked like big sculpted pieces that they were using for that, and I thought they were a neat design. But in other scenes, they just looked dumb, and the CG was really bad, so...
It reminded me of Edgar the Cockroach in Men in Black.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Just a final they're both brown. They're like giant bug-likes. There's multiple appendages. So
no, they're similar. Demons, okay? Let's get this straight.
Demons and bugs can be the same.
My issues with it were more of like the split screen didn't really work where they were superimposing it. It had a problem a lot of movies back then had, and I'm not excusing it, but it was more common back then where like the contrast and saturation of the different layers are not the same.
It was like bad Photoshop.
You know? Well, so like it looked more washed out, right? Than everything else around it. And that always takes
me out
of
it. Maybe everything in their dimension is more washed out.
It must be what it is. Mm. Yeah. They're from a paler
sepia
dimension.
Sepia tone.
Exactly. The Zack Snyder universe.
Aw. Sad. That's funny. So here's a question for you just from a narrative perspective. So let's for a moment take the movie seriously, right?
No.
How do they end up not arrested at the end of the movie?
Oh yeah, everybody should be arrested.
Are they? Because is anyone ever going to believe them?
No.
They blew up a lab. Like, there's no way they go from that to a major arena concert.
Right?
Like
how did they get there?
Zero sense.
Did Jenning just like take all the fall and the blame and everyone just believed him? Or like
that's what I'm guessing happened. Yeah, it has to be something like that. Because they wouldn't be heroes, clearly. I mean, and also, how did she become a rock star just because Howard's the agent now?
Oh, because
he knows nobody on Earth. He has no connections.
It's not because he's their agent. It's because he's her inspiration.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's why she sings the Howard the Duck song. That's their big song now.
Well, that's going to wrap us up.
Please do it, Rachel. Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Come on. It is not the worst movie the three of us have watched.
No, Wrinkle Time still takes that for me.
And that's a fairly new movie with a massive budget. And
movies can be good
Oprah.
Or bad from any generation.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. This is bad, man.
It was pretty rough.
I was not happy. I was really angry at you. I was like, I'm going to serve him divorce papers.
Wow.
I'm really excited for you to review my choice for bad movie reviews because that'll be a fun one.
It's not.
You'll probably hate me.
I'm gonna
on
make
that
you guys watch Catwoman or something for this.
Okay, the basketball scene alone is enough for me to review that whole movie.
I've actually never seen Catwoman, so I'm up for that.
Oh no! Yeah? How dare you? Don't wish that upon me, Derek. Take it back. You take it back. Do not
He's
put that
not
evil
going
on me,
to.
Ricky Bobby. I'm not doing that again. I'll do a lot of things for you guys. I just proved that by reviewing this movie tonight. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Well, are there any other parts of the movie that we skipped over or didn't cover that you guys thought?
Probably some
are
of the random
mentioning?
Fluff in the middle, but I'm not interested in covering that really.
Okay. Fair enough. I guess, you know, they probably intended for there to be a sequel, but there obviously wasn't one.
It was like the He-Man syndrome where you see Skeletor at the end come back and they're like, oh, they knew they were getting a sequel.
Well, okay, let's give them a little bit of credit. There's no post-credit scene. So they weren't that cocky, I guess. Or at least George Lucas maybe. I guess maybe George Lucas has never done a post-credit scene in any of his content.
Nope.
That's just not for him, I guess, which is fine.
You haven't seen American Graffiti, have you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I was making a joke.
Okay.
But there's a post-credit scene in American Graffiti.
Okay. Yeah.
There's not.
No, my experience with American Graffiti was kind of weird. My dad wanted to introduce me and my friend, we were 12 at the time, to two films on the same day. American Graffiti and Pink Floyd's The Wall. And those are probably the two most different films to ever exist. So that was a weird day for me, but I did watch them both.
Good story.
Yeah, you're welcome.
In chat, we got a question.
Oh, okay. So how does it rate compared to Snowpiercer or Air Bud?
Very good choices for movies to compare it to. Very similar genres.
This is clearly someone who listens to the show, though, which I appreciate. So thank you. I've actually never seen Air Bud. I just know that he's a basketball star in the movie.
Isn't it on Disney Plus? How dare you?
It is, yeah.
So personally, I would rather watch this than Snowpiercer again.
You're the only one at the table that would say that, I think.
I think at least
Snowpiercer has Chris Evans.
Yeah.
This has Leah Thompson.
That's not enough for me. Sorry.
Yeah, it's enough for me.
Oh, I don't know, man. Can the third choice just be to die?
Wow. Like,
what about Air Bud? Would you rather watch Air Bud?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too.
Yes, I'd rather watch puppy. Air Bud. Yeah.
Keep puppy that's doing his best playing basketball.
Just doing his job.
Since I haven't seen it, I can't say for sure.
Okay.
But
yeah, yeah. I'd watch
I would
Air
rather
Bud.
Watch either of those
Look,
movies.
Snowpiercer clearly has better fight sequences than Howard the Duck, right? But, you know, I enjoy Howard the Duck.
I'm just not looking forward to watching either of those movies again anytime soon, guys. That's it.
There was more to enjoy in Snowpiercer, and definitely more to enjoy in Air Bud. I would watch Air Bud over Snowpiercer or Howard the Duck.
I know.
For sure.
I did want to see Air Bud Golden Receiver. That was the sequel.
We know.
There were a lot of sequels.
Yeah, no, that was the second one.
And there's a lot of Air Buds. They probably died during that time while they were filming.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to be like this.
I'm just being real. I don't want people to think it's the same Air Bud in every movie.
Let them believe that, all right? No, it's not a problem.
You don't get
it's fine.
That, people who listen to this show. Sorry. You can't take joy in the simple things.
Nope.
So what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are going to talk about Disney.
And we don't ever do that.
No. It's going to be...
What are we talking about this time?
Just, you know, the conflicting nature of Disney as a company. We bitch about the company, yet all three of us continue to support their property. So
more you guys than I, but I only watch
Marvel
movies.
I mean, you
see
Marvel and Star Wars.
And Star Wars, but you guys do all of the princess movies and everything.
Yeah, I do.
So.
I'm a sucker for it. I'm a huge Disney fan, and it really bums me out that they make such... wonderful things that pulls me in and
oh, it bums all yeah
terrible
I get it.
So yeah, we're gonna get into that. It'll be a little bit of a heavier discussion as opposed to tonight, but definitely
less duck tits too. We were both going there.
Yep, less
well
duck
we're saying
tits.
Less duck tits now, but
we
tune
don't know
in.
I mean, who can really tell
in.
The future?
One of us may get pulled by our chair through space and time, and then
true,
there could be some duck tits.
False, who's to say?
Exactly. We can't predict the future, guys.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, quick reminder, come see us at Planet Comic Con if you're going to be in Kansas City the weekend of March 20th. Our panel is at 4:30 p.m. on that Friday. We will be doing our MCU tournament. Mm-hmm. So you can come see us. And Ryan will have a booth for Buster Props all weekend. So you can come see him and friend of the show, John, and all their really cool stuff that they have.
Yes. So much cool stuff.
Lots of cool stuff.
That's right.
And Ray and I will be around too. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll just be walking around doing stuff.
I'm going to convince him to go refill my root beer.
It's a long walk.
Is it not from our booth?
I mean, maybe if you get the same spot for like the third year in a row, that'd be nice. All right, Ray, you want to play us out?
All right, guys. So you can find the Screen Heroes at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. You can follow Ryan at Buster Props, me at Siren Ray, and Derek at The Star Trek Dude on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow all of Heroes Podcasts and see what we're up to at heroespodcast.com. We have all of our handles on that site, as well as the podcast articles and links to our Twitch and Patreon. So check that out. Watch the show every Tuesday. Listen to it every Thursday. We will catch you guys next week for the Big Bad Disney discussion. Later, taters.
Bye.
I'm sorry for who I am.